Chapter 22.
Nakari and I ran for the tree line right away, making the strategic decision to let Drusel trail behind. We were expendable to the bounty hunters, but she was not. From this angle, the ships couldn't fire at us without a risk of hitting her first. She effectively served as a shield and allowed us to reach cover. The bounty hunters would have to land and come after us on foot, which would not be as easy. When we reached the cover of the canopy, Nakari removed her slug thrower from her back and checked to make sure it was still functional after the dunk in the lagoon. Satisfied, she drew her blaster and tossed it to Drusel. "I think you should stay with Drusel and head for the high ground there," she said, pointing to a promontory to the south. "I'll flank out to your side and take shots at whoever follows you."
"But what if they follow you?" I asked.
"I'm taking the droid, and our tracks will make that clear. They'd never believe we'd split up and put their big money target under the protection of an astromech, right? So they'll chase you, and I'll pick them off. You just move as fast as you can."
I nodded. "Right," I said, and we both took a couple of steps in different directions, thinking only of the mission. But then we stopped, thinking of each other, turned back, and froze. Both of us waited for the other to speak first, and we each made one or two halting starts simultaneously, which caused us to stop and wait for the other to continue. And the awkwardness escalated with every fraction of a second, not to mention the terror. I was mortified that whatever I said next would be precisely the wrong thing, either too much or too little, just wholly inappropriate and not what she wanted to hear. Nakari must have been feeling something similar, and I wanted to say she didn't need to worry. She could say anything to me, but even that would probably be wrong.
"What is happening?"
Drusel asked.
"I am unfamiliar with this kind of human behavior. Have you lost the power of speech?"
"No," Nakari said, and she closed the distance between us in three long strides. Her head darted forward, lips kissing mine briefly, and then our gazes met. "Be safe, Luke." It was a very safe thing to say compared to all the other phrases I had been considering, so I nodded with some relief and replied, "You too."
"That was astoundingly straightforward,"
Drusel commented, her confusion clear.
"What was the difficulty that prevented you from expressing such commonplace wishes?"
The Gibbon's words evoked embarrassed smiles from both of us, but I was grateful to Drusel for saying them anyway. Nakari's eyes spoke volumes to me, and I hope mine communicated as much to her. What I said, however, was, "No time to explain." And I broke eye contact with Nakari to witness the landing of the first of the bounty hunters on the beach. "We have to go." Thinking of the extensive catalog offered by Uthiel Outfitters on Rhodia, as well as many other businesses throughout the galaxy, I gave some final instructions to my droid. "R2, make sure you're scanning in the infrared and other channels besides the visual, and let Nakari know if you see something she doesn't. These bounty hunters are sure to have some tricks in their arsenal." He acknowledged with a short electronic burp, and his dome rotated to face the lagoon. We truly did part after that, and Drusel followed behind me as I picked a path through the trees toward the southern hill. I hoped we weren't rushing to the edge of a cliff. Having so many other things demanding my attention on our flight, I hadn't committed the topography of the island to memory. I hadn't even gotten a very good look at it, beyond tagging it as an emergency landing spot. While we headed due south, Nakari and R2 swung southeast. In space, that can magnify quickly into vast distances, but on foot, on a small island, it was only the difference of 100 meters. Nakari was silent in the forest, but R2 made enough noise for both of them. Astromechs are the opposite of stealthy, and are ill-suited to moving cross-country across a largely rocky island covered with a thin layer of fern-dusted soil. The trees were unable to send roots deeply into the stone, so those roots trailed like wooden snakes above the ground, ready to trip us up and slow the progress of rolling droids. Their white trunks were understandably thin, but their canopies of broad leaves cast ample shade. When I took a brief moment to check my trail, I saw that Drusel's head was in constant motion, small jerks like those of a bird. "What are you doing?" I asked.
"Gathering data."
A mechanical whine announced the approach of a swoop bike. One of the bounty hunters must have unloaded one from his ship, thinking to get to us first. The question of when precisely the newer arrivals would turn on one another was a good one. I hoped it would be sooner rather than later. If they focused on getting us first and then fighting through their competition, that would be to our detriment. Far better for them to cannibalize early and reduce their numbers. "Incoming!" I told Drusel, halting for the moment and turning around. "Use a tree for shelter and minimize your profile. I'll present myself as a target." I took a step to the right and spied the skimmer cutting through the trees toward us. It was piloted by a human with goggles strapped to his head, a dark cloak streaming behind him.
"My friend, there is no need," Drusel said.
"What do you mean?" A crack sounded, and the bounty hunter tumbled from the skimmer, sending the vehicle into an uncontrolled dive that resulted in a loud collision with the ground that was half crunching metal and half cracking bones and pulped tissue. A secondary explosion of startled birds from the nearby trees shuddered the air.
"Your mate is an exceedingly good sniper," Drusel said. "The odds were high she would eliminate the threat before we had cause to worry."
"My mate?" I said, spinning on my heel to resume running for high ground.
"Are you not mated?"
"I don't know. Whatever we are, just don't call it that, okay? I think that might be the worst possible word to describe a human relationship." I picked up my pace as if I could put physical distance between myself and her word choice.
"The definition has been quite clear and basic for many years," Drusel persisted, close on my heels. "Is there another word that humans use among themselves?"
"Yeah, pretty much anything else."
"My sincerest apologies," Drusel said, her tone solicitous. "I was unaware of that word's potential to cause psychological trauma in your species."
"It's fine. Let's just move on. There are still..."